Well, welcome to break 10. We're just going to keep right on going with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For one of our sources of great comfort and great encouragement and great guidance as things are getting worse and worse every day. If you have not listened to break 9, I would encourage you to do so. It deals with not being shaken in mind, not be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, from Paul, as that the day of Christ is at hand, because the day of Christ is not at hand yet. So verse 3 is where we're going to pick it up today. Let no man deceive you by any means. See, for those folks that think that the church, the Christian, is going to have to live through the tribulation, for those folks that think that the rapture does not exist anymore because it used to be a big talk and we used to have all these big artistic preachers and chalk artist drawing things and dating when the rapture is going to come, and that's been 10, 15, 20 years ago. So people can be pretty discouraged to think that, well, maybe the rapture really doesn't exist. Maybe we have to just ride this wave out and wait for the second coming of Christ. Well, that's not the case. Paul tells us that. Don't get shook up, folks. Don't be troubled. And don't be deceived by any means. And what has happened here, more and more Christians, so-called Christians, who knows what a sincere Christian is today, let no man deceive you by any means. People have been deceived. They have been deceived. Music, economy, job situation, health, family challenges, rejection of friends, rejection of jobs. Things are so terrible. But you got to remember, folks, what was it like when the country was at war? World War II. What was it like during those days? Everything was geared around that war. World War I. How about the days of the Civil War, where these guys, they know they're walking through the woods, they get one shot, then they got to basically clean their gun, and the chances of being killed, even just from a wound. But they knew this. They knew these things were taking place. The character of people today, and I'm guilty, I would be the number one lousiest character of any strength and guts as a man. It's just not there today. So if there's ever a time where people would have thought that this could have been the tribulation, was during that war era. Guys are gone, women are going to work, changing their appearance, becoming strong, and kids nowadays are pretty much ruling the roost. Isaiah chapter 3 talks about that. The way things are going today, what was it like during those earlier days? And some of the folks still have been there, are still alive, and they could tell you about that. But yet we know today there's more, it's still worse today, because there is a huge deception. So when anything does go wrong a little bit, we just tend to think, well, this must be the tribulation. I mean, all these things that are taking, we must be in the tribulation. I still think people in earlier America would have thought that much more than we are. But we lose our dollar. We lose our small g God when our money runs out and our health goes away. And what do we expect? We've been eating poisons for years. We've been putting chemicals on our body with soaps. Our clothes, chemicals. I mean, why would we think things are any better today, even though we have a bigger economy? No, we're just all deeper in debt. So we've been deceived to think that these are really tough times. Well, still tough, though. We still have whatever it is, wherever we are, these are still tough times. But let's not be shaken. Let's not be troubled. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day is that? Verse 3 again. To that day, well, that's the day of Christ. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. So we just have to remind ourselves what we're experiencing or participating in is the falling away. And yes, as we get closer and closer, the falling away is going to be harder and harder. We have a massive absence of truth. It's just a void of truth out there. So let's keep going here. Come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition. Well, let's define perdition. Let's not go to any modern dictionary. Let's look at the old 1828, and utter destruction. Perdition is utter destruction. Not just total, but utter destruction. Total destruction, today, used like that, well, we can rebuild. No, utter destruction is complete, final, absolute, utmost destruction. That's what we're talking about. He's the son of perdition. He is the son of utter destruction, perdition. He's not a good guy. And where it says, and that man of sin be revealed, we see it closer and closer, don't we? First, we used to think it was, I suppose people used to think it was Roosevelt or or somebody, maybe Truman because he dropped the bomb or whatever. I used to hear, Jack Kennedy, then Robert Kennedy, then Ted Kennedy, then Prince William, Prince Albert, whoever that prince is over there today. You read about him being the Antichrist or the false prophet or whatever. And I have to tell you, Obama seems to be coming the closest of anybody. Gets closer and closer. It's like whatever. We just know what's going on. We know it's wicked. And do we think that the next guy is going to fix everything? We know better than that. I hope we know better than that. But during this whole thing, this falling away, Paul is reminding us, don't be shook up. Don't be troubled as that the day of Christ is at hand, because it's not. Don't be deceived, because that day isn't going to come until there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So let's just realize the days we're living in. And honestly, we should be excited because we see what's going on. We understand this. This is why Paul beseeches us by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Let's not be shooken up, shaked up, shacked up, shooked up. Let's just be encouraged here, and we'll see what he says. Okay, let's go on to verse 4 here. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Okay, let's check that out. He who opposeth and exalteth himself. Opposeth what? Himself. Both those words, opposeth and exalteth, modify to himself. That's why we need to understand grammar for those folks that hate English and grammar out there. Who opposeth himself and exalteth himself above all that is called God. The devil is his own worst enemy. We won't do this study now, but if you go do a study, we find out that Paul says our biggest enemy, we oppose ourselves. Our biggest enemy is ourself. So that's what he's saying here. Who opposeth and exalteth himself. Remember, Isaiah and Ezekiel talk about the devil. That's what he wants to do. So when people say, well, God is in control. Well, yeah, God is in control, but he's not making anything happen. This world belongs to the devil. And so this devil just is exalting himself higher and higher. So when you come along with your rightly divided King James Bible, and people ask you, and then you say what you say about what you know is to be going on, not just believe what is going on, but you know what is going on, and you're going to tear down this God who is exalting himself in this world, and they think that you're tearing down God, but you're not. You're tearing down the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. That's not God. Or that is worshipped. Lots of worship in the churches today, isn't there? More worship than you've ever seen. Why is that? Well, the orchestras and the band and the musicians. Music has taken the place of the Word of God. And I've got a complete website on the dangers of music and the scriptures and Bible and music. It's just, but, who's interested? So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. Again, that's been his goal, is to be exalted. So, and showing himself that he is God. So people believe that this, what's taking place out here in religion, is God, and it's not. Well, how can you say that? Because Paul's telling us these things. And we're not going to be deceived by all this music. We're not going to be deceived by this worship. We're not going to be deceived by the church, what's going on in the local churches. We know better. So we don't go there anymore. We just know that that's not the truth. This worship that's taking place, this preaching and teaching that's taking place, all it is just the devil being exalted. How can you say that? Because what's being preached and taught today does not match the scriptures. And that certainly isn't just a man's little bent view. No, that's the devil wanting to get his exaltation and his worship. And you are not going to be deceived by that. And yet, during this whole time, life is tough. But don't be shaken in mind. Don't be troubled by spirit or by word or by letter from us. Don't think like the day of Christ must be at hand, because it's not. It's closer than it was yesterday. And it's closer than it was 10 years ago. But we still have that rapture, or we still have our dying to take place, the dying process or sudden death, and be gone from here. Like he says, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, don't be shook up. So that's what he's telling us here. So I read through this chapter 2 quite often, so you can see why. So let's read that verse again, verse 4. The son of perdition, who will be revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But you and I know that he is not God. So what's taking place in these churches again today? It is so bad that the devil is getting worshipped, and he is acting, and people believe that that is God we're dealing with, and it's not. Verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And this is interesting to me, because apparently Paul has to tell these people again. And I say to you folks out there that are losing faith in the coming of the Lord is a rapture, in a rapture case, or for those of you that are beginning to think that we're going to have to maybe go through the tribulation. No. Don't you remember when you first read chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians? See, Paul told us these things before. So it's best if you want to keep your mind encouraged and not be shaken by spirit, by word, or by from Paul's words, you better get back and stay in that chapter 2. And all the other books, Ephesians is great, Philippians, Colossians, all these books are fantastically encouraging books. Book of Romans, so easy to understand, and yet there's so many Romans Bible studies out there that are so off the mark. We're going to stop there at the end of verse 5, and we're going to go on to that with break 11. So we'll see you at the next break.